Recordings have started.
Thank you, Chuck. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Translation and Transliteration of Contact TDP Working Group call on the 30th of April, 2015. On the call today, we have Chris Dillon, Peter Green, Sarah Bakke, Juana Witt Akupra, Lynn Zai, Petter Reinfors, and Yuba Sefikas. I show apologies from Justine Chu. From staff, we have Julie Hedlund, who will be in the Adobe Connect site, but unable to join us on the audio, Lars Hoffman, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Chris.
Thank you very much indeed. Now, I've had an email correspondence with Rudy, who currently is in Turkey, so I have a feeling that that's an apology. But anyway, we'll find out later whether it is or it isn't. Just a brief note before we head into the agenda, generally about what we are up to. And if you look at the agenda, you can see really only one major thing on it, and that is looking at this version of the review tool. It is version 8.5. I kicked the first draft of the final report off the agenda because I thought it was better to try and finish going through all the comments and then start with what will in fact be the second version of the final report on the 7th of May. So that is the reasoning behind that. And I note in the chat room that Petter is mentioning that he can't read the coloured responses. Neither can I. So the good thing about the coloured responses is that we can see that something is there, that we need to go back to it. The bad thing is that actually nobody can read them at all, so all we know is that we have to return. Sorry about that. I'll use another highlight colour from this point on. Now, the other thing is, and I'd actually made this decision before I realized that was entirely illegible, I actually wanted to start at number 27 anyway, so that's actually the point after which we stopped work last week, and then basically try and get to the end of the document. If we do make it to the end of the document, then we can come back and revisit perhaps some of the more difficult things we were talking about last week. So if it is all right by everybody, I would like to pick up at number 27. So I'll do that. As I say, if we do have time at the end, we can certainly come back, and then we face the problem of actually decoding what those key bits are. Right. So anyway, without further ado, if we look at number 27, which should be at the top of your screen. And this is actually something that comes up for several responses. So it may be that if we can sort it out now, that will actually save us time elsewhere. And so basically, Amma is saying in his comment, agree with the key systems comment. A requirement of tagging data fields is out of scope of this PDP and should be referred to another one. I think probably what I want to suggest here is quite similar to what things we were saying last week, is that we'll actually do this both ways, and we often with these things we will say that the thing is officially out of scope, but we may mention something about the desirability of doing it. And I think whilst that was going on, that another version of the... Lars is actually typing in the chat room that the highlighting problem may now be fixed, which is most fortunate, because that really could have been awkward. Waiting for a couple of things to happen in the chat room. Anyway, what I'm intending to do with 27 and a couple of similar responses is, as I was saying, to do it both ways and to say it's out of scope, but perhaps make some sort of comment. And Amma is saying we should collect the ideas we have on possible improvements that are out of scope and include them in one or more recommendations for another PDP. So that's a very good point. So it's basically make a list of anything out of scope. By me. Now, if there's nothing more on 27, I'd like to pop straight down to 28. So there is some overlap here, and this is this whole business about marking or tagging. And in fact, I think a little bit further down, that one of the other comments actually comes back to the sort of rationale that we might have behind marking. I'm just wondering, it might be... it might be better to pick that up then. And Amma is saying that he's not seeing the working group member responses in the document being shared. Ah, yeah. There is a... Oh, no, that is really weird. So it may be that you're missing column 4. Ah, yes, because in this version... a lot of the comments that were in column 4 have been integrated into column 3, so I suspect that may be why some of them have gone. And I think when that's happened, usually you've got things in the editing view saying, we've moved it. I hope I removed any formatting track changes, because life is too short to be dealing with those. There are just so many. Okay, and so I think what comes out of 28, anyway, coming back to it, is whether we think that recommending marking is going too far. You know, this sort of area is out of scope. If anybody were to do it, or even conceivably, we may even want to say whether or not there will ever be transformation, just to make a good database, it is necessary to know what language the data is in. It's really this sort of an issue. Certainly my own feeling is that we should continue with the approach that we have been suggesting and say it is out of scope, but put some form of wording which indicates that marking is desirable, and also perhaps rather more content about how we might want to mark. That is really what I would tentatively like to suggest for 28, and I think this is something that comes up further down. There may in fact be some rather better comments further down. Okay, in that case, if there's nothing else on 28, there are similar things for 32, but I think we can probably leave those and go on to perhaps 33, and I must now remember that you can't read the document I've got in paper form on my desk and actually move it to the correct place. Okay, and so and here we've got basically there was a in Amma's version there is disagree with the working group response, and the working group response is that there should be two sets of fields for any transformation. And also as regards accuracy, see number 13. So. I think there is this question. Although in this particular case, these things don't have any effect on whether there is mandatory transformation or not, whether there's a recommendation. But the idea of in some ways suggesting two sets of fields makes it easier for any party who may at some point want to transform data. So that's really the issue here. So yes, it's out of scope, but it's quite similar to the other one, but just the idea that if anybody ever does it, because two sets of fields would be necessary, the only other possibility would be to say something like, if you ever have to transform, then somehow you have to link the Whois replacement to some other system. By the time you recommend something like that, things are starting to get very complicated, and that's why I feel it is better to put some sort of recommendation about two sets of fields. And that is, Amma has got a bit lost. We're in 33. The issue here is two sets of fields. Okay. I wonder any other comments on 33. If not, I'm intending to pop down to 37. I'll go quite slowly, just in case people spot things, because this is a part of the document. That much time with. Amma is typing, disagrees with the working group response. All response of the working group pertaining to additional fields and associated tags should be addressed as possible solutions that require further consideration in the scoping phase of the post-EWG PDP. So we could... I think it might be possible to put that it's out of scope, more or less replace these two responses, in fact. Just before I can see Petter's got his hand up, but just before I ask him to pick things up, I'll just mention that the key issue here is that data should be identifiable by non-experts. And exactly how that would be done would be a responsibility of post EWG PDP. Petter, would you like to bring something up here?
Yeah, Petter. Yes. Sorry, I missed it. Back to point 36.
Yes.
Just noted that there seems to be. A small error at the end of the meaning started with. In other words, the responsibility for deciding who should bear the burden of transformation is beyond, and then comes this does not lie with this. I presume that in fact we have two versions of the last words here. the burden of transformation does not lie with this working group, or the burden of transformation is beyond this working group. Maybe I mixed that. Do you see what I mean?
Yes, yes. It looks as if two possible versions have both ended up in there. The responsibility for deciding who should bear the burden of transformation is beyond this working group. I think that's probably the easiest way of fixing it, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm fine with which one of them. Just
we really don't.
Small note that.
Thing, yes. Note of that. Okay. Now, as regards 37, are we wanting to pick up anything there, or shall we just continue to our next stop? Okay, well, there are several ways we could do this, but I think, let's try going to 42, but I think we'll need to come back a little bit to sort this out. We'll pop it somewhere, we'll put it something like that, and and so, Amma had a response which was saying, basically agreeing that the validity of the question in the response, that's column 3, but would respond similarly to questions 40 and 41. And so the working group response for number 42 is, would these costs be proportional to operational profits? And he's basically, Amma is suggesting that we use a similar approach with 40 and 41. Then there's also another sentence, this PDP should determine who decides who should carry the burden, but decide to place it on contracted parties collecting and maintaining the information or any other stakeholder. I think that there might be grammatical trouble here as well. To me it makes more sense to say something like this PDP should determine who decides who should carry the burden but not decide to place it on contracted parties collecting and maintaining the information or any other stakeholder. Ah, and I've just noticed that Amma's hand has turned into an OK sign, so I think we've just found another. We seem to have a plague of grammatical errors this week, for which apologies. All right. I think we may be ready to move on from this to 40, 41, 42. Then there is a comment on I'm getting my papers in a mess here. On number 46, so we've got a comment, copying and pasting of would require machine-readable text, but this technically it is out of scope of this PDP, but I feel very strongly that we should say something about copying and pasting, because the thought that something else, images of data or something like that, could be used is really quite frightening. That really is a seriously bad idea. Lars, would you like to raise something?
Yeah, just a quick note on the question of scope. I think I looked a little bit at precedents of other PDPs and had a quick chat with other staff as well. I think this can be considered a wider scope of the working group to recommend this and similar the tagging issue that was mentioned before. Just because we've been asked whether it should be translated, transliterated, and the group may say yes or no, and then say based on that outcome, here are some recommendations that would guide, if you want, implementation, right? So if you would say it should not be mandatory, but we do think that people who are interested or needing to translate or transliterate data, it should be as easy as possible for them. And therefore, we recommend that machine readability and some form of easily recognizing the script or language through taking other means is something that the group strongly suggests. I don't think that would pose a problem in terms of scope, considering how the charter is written and how this has been done in other working groups. I just wanted to add that for the record.
Thank you very much. I think that is a very important point, and one that one with which I personally am happy, but you can see Emma's typing seems out of scope. Yes, I think part of the issue is that the charter is very narrow. We have spent a lot of time on this, and I feel it may be possible to get suggestions in. I mean, an awful lot of this could be language, and so this is a challenge for drafting, so that we can do it in such a way that it's helpful, but not in a way that we are really straying majorly from what we should be doing. Perhaps that's the that's the situation. All right. Lars is saying it's of course up to the group to decide. It's just how I and other staff would see it. Okay. And Amma is saying recommending a policy of machine readability involves technical structure of the database and display capabilities of who is search services. Right. Starting to get really quite technical. I suspect in some ways that actually being able to put images of data into a database may be more difficult than putting plain text, but I'm not totally sure, so I probably shouldn't talk about this too much. Waiting for one or two things to happen in the chat room. We're heading towards number 50 now, incidentally. This is Jim saying, machine readability is about the structure of the data in transit using XML. Yes. And Amma is saying he's not saying it's a bad idea, just that it warrants more discussion before being a PDP working group recommendation. But then I think it's possible for us to put things in our report which are actually not in the recommendation section. There's that side of it as well. Amma, would you like to say something?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. This is Amma. The problem with, the way I see it, the problem with trying to wriggle out of the very extremely narrow scope of this PDP at this point is that if it was clear from the beginning that the scope was broader, we might have had more interested parties who might have wanted to be involved and become part of the conversation that we're having. Right now, the fact that we have more questions than answers on all these fantastic ideas we're coming up with is a clear indication that it does warrant more discussion. But I disagree with your last statement, Chris, that we don't actually have to have these within the recommendations. They could be within the sort of the body of the report. I think these ideas, a lot of them are really good ideas, and we should, as a PDP working group, mandate other efforts to look into those. And that's why I think we should really make a list of all these great ideas on things that will make transformation possibly easier to both do and display. We should really collect those and include them in either one or more recommendations from this PDP working group to say, okay, we recommend that the GNSO Council charters another PDP with this in the issues reports of that PDP, so that it becomes clear from the beginning of a new process that these are issues that came up during this PDP and have gone unanswered and would be beneficial to the registration directory services in the future. Thanks.
Thank you, Amma. I've been slightly slow to cotton on to the idea of collecting these things and perhaps having a recommendation which would, yes, now I understand why, yes, you've been suggesting that. And yes, it would seem to be a good way of making progress. Yes, I really have no objection to that. Now, and in fact, I'm grateful for the ideas. Now, there are other things going on in the chat room, so let me just pick those up. We've got Jim saying, display can then do what they want and third-party applications can do what they want. This is the point of the WIRDS work, the replacement for who is. Yes. Third-party apps include transformation. And then Amma is coming back saying they need to be within the recommendations, just mandated to another PDP. Okay, yes. So, you know, what we can't do is recommend them directly, but what we can do is recommend that another PDP picks them up. Yeah, okay. I've been really slow to sort of pull all of this together, but anyway, I think it sounds like a very good way of dealing with a slightly difficult situation. And Pitinan is just agreeing with Amma over that. And Jim is saying, yes, push forward to another PDP. The point is not to let the issues get lost or forgotten. Exactly, yes. We've spent such a long time speaking about these things. It would be a real shame if these things got lost. And the question is just how to protect our work, I would say. All right. Let us continue. And I reckon that 50 may be the next stop. But if he feels strongly we should stop before, that may also be possible. And so, will there be rules or standards governing translation of non-ASCII characters? Amma was saying he agreed with the first paragraph of the response, but not with the second, which is actually recommending a particular system. I might read that comment because it's not in this version. Agree with first comment, disagree with the second. The issue of liability is part of the burden as opposed to only the cost is meaningful to me in this context. Any standard that is mandated by a policy may create liability on a registrant who unknowingly does not adhere to it. Furthermore, in many cases, it may be appropriate to disregard the standard, particularly when transformation of proper nouns is the issue. Yeah, we've really got to make a decision whether we keep this second paragraph or we kick it out. I think it might be possible to redraft this so that we say something like these tools may be useful, but we don't actually. We're certainly not insisting. And again, we need to make the point that anything done here actually doesn't affect the decision to transform mandatorily or not. That's worth raising. Okay, now returning to the chat room, we've got Pascal agreeing with Jim's comment about pushing forward to another PDP, and we've got Petter saying, in fact, very helpful for all new working groups to have some kind of summary and recommendations from previous working groups, even if those are not formal. Yes, thank you. Yes, exactly. Yes, that's another reason for doing it. Okay, and Amma is saying, yes, the historical context is always helpful, serves as a guide to drafting of issue reports and working group charters as well. All right, if there's nothing else about 50, then we get to move on, and I think the next stop is 55. And actually, I seem to recall we've already spent quite a lot of time here, so I think the agreement was something like these are outside, so we want to try and have it both ways and say, these things are outside the scope, but we want to make a comment, and these are possible candidates for future work. And specifically in number 56, again, there's a slight problem with versioning here because I think I remembered that there was a suggestion that primary be replaced by authoritative, and I've actually picked that up, but without okaying it with the group, which is not normally what I do, but let's just check that we are happy with the word authoritative there rather than primary. Personally, I have no objection to either of them. I'm not exactly sure why one may be better than the other, but because I have no personal preference, if somebody does, then I tend to just go with that. All right. That's actually a comment about 56 rather than 55, in fact. As also on 55, there's also the issue that in the foreseeable future, there won't be an approved transliteration because that would really indicate the existence of technology which we really don't have yet. Certainly for some languages. Amma, would you like to pick up something around here?
Thanks, Chris Sommer. Yeah, my reasons for suggesting authoritative instead of primary is only because authoritative has been used in other policy discussions and in other PDP working group recommendations as a term to sort of indicate what data set is sort of the primary or authoritative set. The thick who is PDP is one that comes to mind, and we're sort of trying to determine whether who is data obtained from registrars or registries is the authoritative set of data, and so I just thought my suggestion to use it here is just to have consistent words or descriptions for what is what were meant across different PDPs. So I think that may be helpful. Thanks.
Okay, thank you very much. That is that's certainly a very solid reason. If a word has been used in a similar sense elsewhere, then you know, that really is a reason to prefer it. Yes. Okay. Now, if there's nothing else in these 50s, which we did spend some amount of time on last week, I seem to remember, then we get to go as far as about 62, if I am right. Got Flight of Bad Actors, which is... before we get, I'll just pop back briefly to 55 because I think Pity Nan has found a problem in the text. Thank you. So, and she's asking if the cluster means change of address, not just correct the typo. Oh, let's have a look. No, I'm afraid I'm slightly lost with this one. Can anybody see what's gone wrong? I'm afraid I'm struggling. Pityanan is saying she's not sure of the intention of the question, so this is 55. What if the registrant wants to change an approved transliteration? Is the change an approved means? There are an awful lot of these questions, and... change the transliteration because it doesn't transform correctly. I think a lot of this really means it really depends on how any transformation would be done. If transformation is done using really strict guidelines, then the issues are relatively small. If the transformation is done in a very liberal way by lots of different people in lots of different ways, then you're still really magnifying any differences. So change the name of the street because he moves the house. The way I understood this was no, we're not talking about situation where the building, where somebody's actually changed address. This is just different ways of representing the same data. For me, that's what this is referring to. Yes, all right. Okay, so let us let's pop further down to 62. That up. So the response is this is the current situation. Theoretically, it could change. So by current situation, what was really intended here was that there are few bad actors, and there are actually some statistics about the number of bad actors there are at present. That could change, but there are some statistics which we could put in the report about this. So I hope that's enough to clarify this thing, because you know, I use the shorthand of the current situation, and it is actually referring to a situation where the statistics are saying that currently there are few bad actors. That's really the explanation of that one. If that is, if people are happy with that, we get to go a few further down, just to 64, so we can leave 62 still on the screen for a moment. Here we've got, Amma was saying, you know, Bangkok is not the only exception. You've got Cairo is actually another. We can't be sure how many there are. Yes, beyond Bangkok, Cairo, I think there are going to be a lot of these things. These are really just symbols. They're examples of a phenomenon. Actually, even beyond Bangkok and Cairo, there are also situations like, for me, this is actually more serious. So you've got addresses where, you know, like in Chinese, for example, you would have a street name which would end in jie, meaning street. Now, if you just transliterate, you're going to get J-I-E, which is not very helpful for non-Chinese speakers because they don't know that that means street. So this is quite a common phenomenon. So in the various languages, you typically get these words for street and road, and it may, to get the kind of nice transformation, there was a Japanese example of a really nice transformation of data, which we were discussing a few weeks ago. To get that kind of quality record, you may be transliterating some parts and translating others. It's transforming, but it's actually using both techniques within the same data. And so this sort of street and road thing is also quite a big issue. Okay. Either of things going on, but in the interests of making progress, let us go a little further down to 67, and we can easily come back if necessary. So here there is this suggestion that verified should be used rather than validated here. Wondering whether this actually makes sense in this version of the document. So here we've got, I think basically what we're asking is whether people are happy to replace validated with verified here. Now, whilst you're considering that, Amma is going to mention something, and I can see there's also stuff in the chat room, but Amma, would you like to pick this up?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. This is Amma. In the registrar accreditation agreement, validation and verification have two different meanings.
Yes.
And I think what we're looking for here is verification, not validation.
Yes.
Verification is sort of this assuring that the data is correct, and by using this contact data, a registrant is indeed contactable. Validation is more about making sure this contact data actually exists out there in the real world somewhere. So they have two different means. So for example, validation would be to validate that this city exists within this country, and this street exists within this city, and this street number exists within this street. That's kind of what validation is, as far as I understand it. So I just thought that what we're looking for here is more of verification rather than validation. Thanks.
Thank you. These are especially difficult definitions, and I'm grateful for that. Now we need to go back, in fact, to 64, just briefly, because there are a few things in the chat room. So, first of all, we've got Amma picking up the Cairo example, Al-Qahira, omnipotent conqueror. That's very funny. I think that beats the translation.
In the female form, Chris, not just the omnipotent conqueror, but specifically in the female, a female omnipotent conqueror. So.
Oh, yes, that is definitely a substantially more amusing slip than the accidental translation of Beijing as northern capital. I mean, that's just confusing. The omnipotent female conqueror. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Right. So then Pitinan picks up, the fact that because. If quality transformation were to take place, you probably are talking about transformation, which is actually a mixture. Mostly it's going to be transliteration, but things like Cairo and Bangkok and street names may be translated, and personal names, I would say, well, I suppose it's closer to translation than anything else, but as we've discussed before, personal names tend to depend on people. So, as I've said on several previous occasions, I am Chris Dillon, but, the only way that you can know that is really by asking me, because theoretically I could be Christopher Dillon or Chris J. Dillon or half a dozen other possibilities, and that's really the only one way of finding out. It's quite close to translation, that, actually. All right. Let us continue, and we'd more or less done 67, and let's see how far we get this time. Right, I think perhaps 70 for a next stop. And so Amma suggested quite a lot of text here. So it runs, would also point out that a lack of mandatory transformation does not disable, as opposed to enable, contactability. It only tasks the who is lookup user with the burden of transformation. Yes. But I don't know whether we have strong feelings about that. I think I'm fairly happy to add it. Amma, would you like to pick up something there?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Summer. I just thought to point that out because the IPC comment here made it a point on several of the bullets in the comment that transformation is sort of an enabling tool. So I just wanted to point out that the lack of transformation isn't necessarily disabling. It just shifts the transaction cost onto another actor. That's all. Thanks.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. So, if we let that go, I think we get as far as 72, so not all that far, in fact. And again, it's a similar situation where Amma suggested, noteworthy to mention that increasing costs on contracted parties is also an issue, not only registrants and end users. This will likely also be reflected on the costs burdened on registrants and create other problems on startup registrars in developing nations, mentioned elsewhere in the initial report. Certainly very happy to add that, but I don't know whether anybody has any feelings about that. May. We are very near the end now, I think. We might even get time to look at some of those pink bits if we can read them. Then next stop is, I think, 76. Oh, yes, and in fact, these are really brief stops because there will be a dedicated part of the final, well, there is already, in fact, a dedicated part of the final report that will deal with So this is picking up whether we know about these previous rulings on ASCII, and the answer is yes, we do know about them. I actually thought that we had picked them up in the report, what we can do is make sure that these are, possibly we change the wording slightly, but certainly we are aware, both of these IPC comments, we are aware of the existing ASCII rules, but we need to make sure that we indicate possibly more clearly that we were aware of them. Perhaps that is the issue. Okay, and then we have what may be the... Amma is just picking up a few things about this, so let us go there first. This comment was raised by the IPC as far back as the webinar that was held on the initial report, but we haven't addressed it yet. So this is the ASCII issue. Yes. So perhaps if we spend longer, another option based on EWD is to require the script used for registration data to either be that of the TLD or else US ASCII. This approach would reduce, though not eliminate, the need for translation or transliteration, as all pertinent data would already be in US ASCII, except that of IDN GTLDs. I actually think this might be an example of, it's a comment that we are aware of, but no obvious way of doing this without mandatory transformation, I think. IPC points out that the initial report makes no reference to the fact that current ICANN stamps that registrars and registrars are encouraged to use only US ASCII encoding character repertoire for WHOIS port 43 output. Okay, that's what I was saying before, so that we can certainly pick up. And Amma is writing, I think we need to do some homework on this one. Okay, I can certainly put some highlight on number 76. It won't be pink. Some sort of highlighting. And that leads me to what, as far as I know, may be the last thing I want to pick up, and that is number 78. And again, this is it's actually similar to one that we had a moment ago, using the word verification rather than validation. So I think unless somebody has an opposing opinion, I think we should just do that and just change validation to verification again. All right, so the question now is whether there are any other comments in the document that we would like to pick up now. I'll just ask you that question, whether there are any nagging doubts about any of the comments. If there aren't, what we can do is go back and readdress some of the ones which we flagged up last week. do with that is that we have a yes. Actually thinking, I don't know whether Lars is still on the call, but it might be easier to load the other version because actually the pink, although we couldn't read what it was saying, yes we can, it's become green, that's what happened. Right, so we can just look at, so number one is this business with accession. So, no, Lars, let's leave this version. I hadn't realized that you turned the pink into green, so no, this is great. So it's whether we have an improvement for accession in number one. The burden of accession and understanding contact information. And apologies from Amma. If we could... if that could be one that went to the list, that would be really good. And that means I think we get to go to a little bit further down, which is number four. And here we've got the IPC opposes this recommendation and strongly supports mandatory translation and or transliteration of contact information in all generic top-level domains. Having registration data in an unlimited number of scripts is troublesome. Okay. Whether there's anything else we want to pick up about that. Oh, yes, okay. So there was some talk about need rather than desirability. I think there was some possibility that we were going to pick this up on the list. We're on number four now, so we're awaiting... discussion on the desirability. It's words like needs and desirability in number four. I sense there hasn't been much movement on this, so if there hasn't, that means we get to look at the next bit of highlighting, because these are areas we know we are stuck on to some extent. There's not much more highlighting in this document. Okay. Ah, Amma is saying, technically it isn't unlimited, it is limited by the number of scripts languages that exist. Okay. The number of languages is pretty close to unlimited. There we go. Mm-hmm. That. And I'm just now looking for anything else that we highlighted. It's even conceivable that I don't think that's the end of the highlighting, but I'll just double check. So actually the other thing is number 24, which is the last point we brought up last week. So this is a combination between making transformation mandatory and changing the term of service. And then term of service would cover both burden, would cost, would cover both cost and liability. So I think the there was certainly an idea that we should have a bit more of a think about number 24. Yes. That really is the last thing of which we, at least I personally, am aware, and I try to be very thorough on these occasions, as you know. Well, all right, rather than prolonging the agony, we're very near the end, we're really very near the end of the meeting now anyway. So Amma, would you like to say something briefly before we finish?
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Sommer, just to comment on the business constituencies comment in number 24. The way I read this is, well, it's a combination of the business constituency's position that is contrary to what the working group has so far determined was its majority recommendation. So they are recommending mandatory transformation to AFSCME. And the second portion of their comment here suggesting that the language of the registrar, that the language be determined in the, in the registrar's term of service would suggest that a decision has already been made on who determines who should bear the burden of transformation. So this is kind of also beyond the scope of this PDP, because we're not supposed to make that determination here. We're only supposed to suggest who we think should make that decision, not who should actually do it. But here they seem to be suggesting that the registrar is responsible for, that that's where the transformation should occur.
Thanks. Okay, thank you for that. Yes, that makes it quite a bit clearer. So actually, perhaps what would be best here is just to explain that actually making the decision really is outside our scope. That is something that we don't, just the way it's worded, we cannot do that. So perhaps that could solve that one. All right. So that means that, as far as we know, as far as I am aware, we have covered every comment. What I would like to do would be to have a discussion about some of the ones which have caused more trouble, so perhaps 1 and 4 and a few others that came up this week. I will add the changes, as I understood them, from today's meeting. I'll probably do that sometime tomorrow, and then you should have another version of the document, and you are very welcome to pick up either the ones which have caused a few issues today or other numbers. And that then means that next week, we can discuss comments on the list, but by next week, or specifically actually by the end of Tuesday next week, the idea would be to have a second version of the final, a second draft version of the final report. If we can manage to get that out to the group by the end of Tuesday, by which I mean UTF-24, then that means we can really have a good discussion of this second draft of the final report on Friday, Thursday the 7th, which is a discussion I shall lead. Rudy has agreed to lead the discussion on the 14th, and I think that there is quite a benefit there, because there's possibly been too much input from me in recent meetings, and so we can really welcome a slightly different approach from Rudy on the 14th. Just before I finish, Amma is mentioning a first version of the final report. Yes, if you go back into the minutes of last week, you'll find that version. It's attached to the wiki page. I was optimistic. I thought that we would not take so long going through the comments, so I posted that some time ago. But there may be a case just for waiting till the end of Tuesday and running with version 2, because I think there will be quite a few edits to version 1. Amma, would you like to pick something up?
Yeah, thanks, Chris Sommer. I was going to actually ask if it would be possible to have version 2 of the final report have red line changes to the initial report. That way we can easily track where changes have been made.
I think that is what happened. Certainly the first version of the final report was based on the initial report, and I think track changes were used. But yes, I take your point that that would be a handy function. All right. Well, thank you very much, everybody. I just didn't know whether we'd be able to get through all of this work today. I am extremely pleased that we've been able to do it. We do have a little bit of homework for the mailing list, but apart from that, really looking forward to discussing the report next Thursday. So, again, many thanks for today. Goodbye, then.
Chuck, if you can please stop the recording. Once again, the meeting has been adjourned. Thank you very much for joining. Please remember to disconnect all remaining lines and have a wonderful rest of your day.